This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Families' needs and finances.
Well, the Joint Committee on Taxation found that these tax cuts expire, and so some middle-income people will see their tax cut go away. But also, Lisa Murkowski seems to have a different view. She said if the tax cut is offset by higher premiums, you haven't delivered a benefit. So she seems to think that the removing the individual mandate does have an effect that negates the benefit of any tax cut as a part of this bill.
Well, Senator Murkowski has been a leader on this bill, and part of the bill came out of her committee, the part that deals with exploration for oil and gas in the Arctic Circle. She's also said that she doesn't have any preconditions on this vote. And, you know, remember, the vast majority of people on the Obamacare exchanges are getting subsidies. So if their premiums do go up, they're still going to get higher subsidies. And also, let's look at what premiums have happened over the last 4 years with the mandate in place. They've more than doubled since 2013. They're projected to go up by 37% next year. So Obamacare is already failing with the mandate. We shouldn't be fining poor people and working American families because they can't afford the insurance that is going up so much.
Although Senator Murkowski does.
Of course, Obamacare remains in the crosshairs because the Republicans said that they would repeal and replace. And last time I checked, Scott, we're still dealing with it, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be yes.
Yes.
I mean, the remnants of it, but the individual mandate, of course, Congress and the president, certain members of Congress, and I should say, because not all across the board, would like the individual mandate to go away as part of the tax reform package. And, you know, this would be, you know, where were the numbers? I mean, it was incredible, these numbers I was looking at, in terms of how many people are dealing with the, you know, the individual mandate. I mean, many Americans have said, look, I'm just going to, I'm going to pay the fine, for example. And, you know, and what did it raise? So 6.7 million American families pay Obamacare's individual mandate surtax. In other words, they don't want to be in the game here, and I don't blame them because before I went into the current program that I'm in, I just paid the fine. I mean, $100 at that time was nothing. I think now it's about $340 per person. But I was happy to pay that tax rather than be subjected to some crazy Obamacare mandate, medical philosophy. I mean, this is, by the way, this is amounting to 6.7 million American families that pay the individual mandate surtax. That equates to $3 billion annually to Uncle Sam.
I just like how they talk about it. Oh, if you end the mandate, 4 million people are going to be, lose their insurance. Except for if you take away the, you know, the law that says I have to have it and I choose not to do it, some of that 4 million, I'm guessing a lot of them are saying I don't want to do it. So they have the choice to say that they don't want health care.
And that's this is supposed to be freedom, right? Aren't we the land of the free? I mean, you know, here it is. You've got to pay. You've got to, in order to exercise your right not to purchase an unaffordable Obamacare plan, you got to pay money for that.
I point to, it used to be I'd pay 75 out of each of my paychecks.
And your choice.
That was my choice. I'd pay 75 out of each of my paychecks. The Affordable Care Act was passed. I lost my insurance through work, and now I'd have to pay like $400 a month to get the same package I had. Why would I do that?
Yeah.
Why would I just pay that $340 that you talked about?
Exactly. But this is why I went to a direct pay model so that I could have choice and I could have the freedom. It was just like, okay, the government wants to, you know, force you into it. So hey, I'm better off paying the silly tax than paying the premium, thousands and thousands of dollars with an incredible deductible. And what do I have at the end of the day? an insurance card that I paid, $5,000 for? Oh, wonderful. That makes sense, right?
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Stop, hey, what's that sound?
It is 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. As always, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. All the information right there that you need to know is easy, handy, and reachable. And enjoy yourself. Find out how you can connect with any one of the 280-plus affiliates we have around this great country of ours, even via shortwave, Red State Talk Radio, the cable radio network as well, the digital network. Hey, we're all happy to deliver and be what you need us to be, and that is committed to pursuing the truth no matter where it leads. And to this end, Steve Weidenkopf joins us now. He's a lecturer in church history at the Notre Dame Graduate School of Christendom College in Alexandria, Virginia. He's creator and co-author of Epic, A Journey Through Church History, and the author and presenter of the Early Church Adult Faith Formation Study. Steve, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Good morning, Bill. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, good to have you here. Excuse a little bit of the background noise. They tell me it's only going to be here for just a couple of more seconds, so we'll weather through it. Hopefully it's not annoying enough to you. But I want to talk, first of all, before we get into the real story of Catholic history, give us an update on EPIC, A Journey Through Church History.
Yeah, sure. So EPIC is, as you mentioned, adult faith formation program, a church history program. Mm-hmm. It's in multiple parishes throughout the country, actually, and even in Houston, I think in some places in Canada as well. So it kind of walks people through the 2,000-year history of our Catholic Church and does so by dividing our 2,000 years of history into 12 different time periods. Each time period is given a color so people can helps to memorize or remember the main event of what's going on in that time period of church history. So it's a little memory device. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten great feedback on it. It's been out for a number of years now, so I'm very pleased with it.
Well, I'll tell you, it's been something needed for a long time to have, this broken down to where people understand, where the church has evolved through the process, because you've been able to clear up, some of the misunderstandings, let's call them for, leave it at that, that have surrounded, as you say, it really is an epic when you consider the Catholic Church and its history.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, the church is, has really contributed immensely to the formation of Western civilization and in so many different areas, in the legal area, in economics even, politically, obviously, and just giving, the world really a worldview rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ and, mm-hmm. Proclaimed to every corner of the globe by the church. And so often, unfortunately, as we see in our modern world, the church is frequently attacked for the things that she has done. And there's a lot of, as you mentioned, myths and misrepresentations that exist about her history. And mm-hmm. so one of the major aspects of my focus of my work and my teaching and speaking and writing is to dispel those myths and present authentic and Catholic history to the world.
Well, we know this tension exists and has existed from day one. Jesus said very clearly, hey, if you think it's going to be easy for you, just think about how they treated me after all they crucified me. And as defenders of the faith and, you know, the church that Jesus Christ came to establish, which he said the gates of hell would not prevail against. I mean, even with that announcement, it clearly warned us that we're going to be in for a fight here, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. And when you study the history of the church, really, the kind of the central theme throughout all church history really is that theme of persecution, right? Mm-hmm. Where, as you correctly point out, you know, the Lord was persecuted violently so by the you know, the legal authority, the governmental authority of his time, and obviously that he said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you, as you mentioned. So that's exactly what's happened throughout the history of the church. And even in those time periods where you think that church and state were a little bit more, maybe more closely aligned, you know, or the faith permeated society, at least even in those times, you still see, you know, an occasion, not necessarily bloody persecution, but definitely, you know, unbloody or non-bloody persecution in terms of the political realm as well as other areas. So that is the central theme, and even in our own day and age, you know, not too long ago, the Second Vatican Council, you know, encouraged all Catholics to be aware that, you know, we might be called to martyrdom ourselves, and that we should be, you know, rooted in the Lord and know our faith well in order to defend it in case those times come.
Well, and you think of the early martyrs, but before we do and unravel that just a little bit, Steve, I want to go back and stop and for just a moment and consider, you know, the persecution not only came from the local political power force at the time, but also, you know, from the religious leaders at the time. So it warns us that persecution is equal opportunity, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, the Christians began, you know, the Christian church began as a small kind of sect of Judaism, and there was much persecution there. I mean, the first martyr of the church, you know, St. Stephen was stoned to death, you know, by order of the Sanhedrin because of his proclamation of Jesus Christ crucified, died, and risen. And, you know, and so that's continued to our own day and age. And unfortunately, you know, we've even had divisions within the church that have fractured the church or cleaved the church to the point where even today, you know, Christians, although maybe in agreement on certain central basic doctrines, unfortunately are very divided in our modern world. And that wasn't the plan of God to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Well, but you think that, you know, now going to the martyrs and, you know, as you mentioned, St. Stephen, the first martyr, and the martyrs, the early martyrs of the church that were willing to put it all on the line for the sake of Christ, they knew something. And that, you know, I guess, how do you put it, Steve, that they knew something so definitive that they were willing to put their own lives on the line for it. And the call for modern day martyrdom is there, even though we may die every day as Christians, dying to self. But we're not shedding any blood. But there may become that point, to your point, that we start shedding blood on behalf of what, you know, we really believe in.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, those early Christian martyrs, as you mentioned, I mean, they were, you know, full of love for Christ and love for his church and were, you know, refused, you know, at the point of death, as you point out, to sacrifice to those Roman pagan gods. And, you know, even to the point of, you know, being, you know, shown instruments of torture or, you know, knowing that their staunch defense of their faith would lead to their death, they nonetheless maintained that great faith and are known as martyrs, which, you know, from the Greek means witness. They gave the ultimate witness of their,
exactly,
of their life to for the world, right? And so, and one of the things that's important to know, at least for us in the modern world, about the witness of the martyrs is that not only their own personal heroic sacrifice, but the fact that sacrifice kind of awakened others in their society. So, you know, we have accounts from Tacitus and others that show that you know, the example of the martyrs kind of spurred on questions from the larger Roman pagan society. Why are these people doing this? Why are they willing to suffer so horribly and die over this God, this Christian God? Who is this Christ? And so it led to the people of Rome at the time to investigate the faith and ask those questions of their own. So it's a stark reminder for us in the modern world that, you know, how we live our faith,
right,
how we die, as you say, each day to ourselves and grow deeper with Christ, gives an example to others.
Yeah, and following the example of Christ himself,
but willingly went to the cross. And when you talk about martyrs here, we're not talking somebody who said, hey, I'm part of a jihad. I'm going to kill a bunch of people and get killed in the process and claim some sort of martyrdom along the way. This is a different type of aspect of martyrdom altogether. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that on the other side of the break. Stay with us. Steve Weidenkopf is our guest. I'm Bill Martinez at 15 after the top of the hour.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buy, sell, makeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But did you know you can have tax-free access to your life insurance while you're still alive? You can use the life benefits of your life insurance to grow your money with certainty and guarantees. No stock market risk, no tax risk, and no penalties. Call Life Benefits if you'd like a free book about how this can be done. Call 702-660-7000. That's 702-660-7000.
Have you checked your ECS lately? We have. We are New Pharma, scientists who specialize in human functions controlled by the endocannabinoid system, or ECS. Let me simplify. Your ECS is involved in physiological processes like appetite, pain sensation, mood, memory, and immune systems. New Pharma's patent-pending science is the big difference in our natural solutions, formulated for your well-being. For example, our foundation product provides targeted nutrition to support a healthy endocannabinoid system, which is directly responsible for managing and controlling inflammation. This product contains turmeric, which is known as one of the best anti-inflammatories on the planet. Our allergies product contains sage, which is a very effective decongestant. See all of our amazing capsules, essential oils, and ECS herbal teas at GNUPHARMA.com. New Pharma. Your path to wellness begins here.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana has been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is
the stores I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com.
Back over my life.
Thank you.
And all the times you brought me through.
Thank you.
I just want to say, Father, thank you.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Thank you. Thank you for keeping me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for letting you came and broke the chains and set me free. Thank you for the love, the chance. Gave me joy, now
better. Let me hear you say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live.
Nothing like an attitude of gratitude, huh? Oh, thank you, Lord. 19 after the top of the hour. You know, I so appreciate church history, and we're cautioned throughout the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament. I think over 250 times we're reminded to remember. And maybe we need the reminding to remember because it's so easy for us to forget. And we're grateful for the talents and gifts of Steve Weidenkamp, who is a lecturer in church history at the Notre Dame Graduate School of Christendom College in Alexandria, Virginia. He's written books. We're going to be talking about his latest book, The Real Story of Catholic History, answering 20 centuries of anti-Catholic myths in just a moment. But, Steve, just to kind of wrap up the concept against the the differential in understanding, you know, we hear this is the one thing about the English language is so dynamic. It's always changing, you know, where good can be bad and bad can mean good. And when we talk about being a martyr and we compare it to the martyrs of the early church, quite a bit different than the modern day martyr, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Christian martyrdom is rooted in, you know, selfless love, really. Mm-hmm. It's the giving of one's life for something greater, right? For Christ and for the church, or even for the larger Christian community. And the motivation of it is always out of love. It's never something that's done as a part of violence or as a part of anger or hatred towards another person or another group, which is sadly not necessarily what we see with many of the groups today that you know participate in so-called martyrdom.
Right. Well, you know, again, in following Jesus' example, to your point, this is why Jesus could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen echoed basically the same sentiments other martyrs in the church history, knowing that what they were doing was against God's law. But it was because in part of ignorance, in part of the devil and evil that exists in this realm, and we run into evil, you know, every day. It is still prevalent, and there's still that opportunity, as I mentioned earlier, where we are as examples of Christ, not necessarily shedding blood, but dying to ourself on a daily basis, that there would be more of God, more of Christ in us, and less of who we think we are.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, that's, you know, those words from St. John the Baptist, right, in the Gospel of John. I mean, I must decrease and he must increase. I mean,
exactly.
Every Christian, by virtue of baptism, is called to do that, right, to embrace the cross of the suffering given to us by Christ and, or, you know, by God, and to be that light of Christ in the world to others, and, you know, to show his love and his mercy and his compassion as well, and to bring the light of him to those whom he brings into our own lives.
You know, I think about this, Steve, that, you know, what those, you know, the impact the early martyrs must have had. Here they go willingly to their death. I mean, you already have Jesus who takes up the cross, willingly dies after demonstrating all this power. And as he said, he could call on legions of angels to clear the decks if that's what he wanted to do. But that's not what the Father wanted. And he yielded to the Father's will. And here they are. They're watching what happens with Christ. Pretty dramatic. And then his followers follow his example and do the same. And they're going, what is it about this Jesus that these, you know, seemingly normal people, God loving, God fearing, people that contributed to the community, as you say, were agents of love. And they're following Christ's example and willingly subject themselves to martyrdom.
Right. Yeah, that's, you know, it's kind of that paradox, right? I mean, it causes people to stop and to think. And that, again, it's the whole point of, you know, giving witness for mm-hmm. one's faith in Christ and the church. And, you know, it's always something that again, is done, you know, out of a selfless act. I mean, it's something that not everyone is called to that ultimate witness of martyrdom necessarily in terms of one's life and shedding blood, but even as we talked about earlier in the last segment about, you know, dying to oneself. I mean, mm-hmm. Even in a period of non-active persecution of the church in terms of violence, you had the creation of, you know, Christian monasteries and different monastic orders, and oneself, in essence. And so, living that life of the monastery, living the life of the rule of your monastery was all designed in order that you become less and he becomes more. And that's the whole point of our Christian faith. And one way in which the faith has been spread and in an effective way is again, through the shedding of the blood of those great martyrs and great witnesses of our church history.
Yeah, and it's amazing the doors that are opened up as a result of that, supernatural power that comes along, that ministry or that example, that knocks down walls, that, breaks up families and breaks them up in a way that is, ultimately positive, doesn't break up to destroy, but breaks up in order to, add to the proposition of the family, add a dimension of the family, some spiritual aspect that before had not been realized. And we've seen this happen time and again, Steve. And again, it's supernatural. It's powerful. It is a witness in and of itself.
Yeah, very true. The Christian faith demands a response, right? I mean, unlike some of these other philosophy, other ideas in the history of human civilization or philosophies or things, all of which the faith is not. But, those different ideas or thoughts or philosophies, opinions, most of them don't require any kind of response. You can either agree with it or you can just walk away from it. But the Christian faith, right, and Christ himself, And his actions, demands a response on our part. We either have to willfully choose to believe and make that ascent of faith and give our lives to Christ and the church, or we make the willful decision to reject that. And so, because of that, it mentioned, as you say, that causes sometimes division among families, friends, nations even. That's the unique kind of aspect of the Christian faith as opposed to all these other different ideas and thoughts in the world or other religions.
And when you say it demands a response, the demand comes from God himself who gave his son. I mean, that's what we need to hold into perspective here. This is not like some neighbor, or some political pundit or, a president of a nation saying, okay, let me hear your response. This is the very God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, that says, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, he who created us, right, in his own image and likeness. Mm-hmm. I mean, from the beginning of creation, right, that call has been there. Do you love me? Do you trust me? Right.
And exactly.
Unfortunately, evil Satan enters into the picture in the beginning of our first parents' story and challenges them. And they did not answer well. Right. And the consequences of their answer has affected all of humanity since. But you're exactly right. This is not just, some pope or some bishop or this or that or whatever. This is a direct, call from God that we all are called to answer because we're made in his image and likeness.
Exactly. And the situation here, as you say, with our first parents making the humongous mistake that they made, the thing that was missing, that was clearly missing in the story, was God himself. And so that in of itself, Steve, tells us clearly is that this is what happens when you depart from God. You can make some dire mistakes.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, Steve Weidenkopf is with us. We're going to be talking next, I promise, about his new book, The Real Story of Catholic History, Answering 20 Centuries of Anti-Catholic Myths. He's a lecturer in church history at the Notre Dame Graduate School of Christendom College in Alexandria, Virginia. Stay with us, America. Just about 29 minutes right now. We're coming on after the top of the hour.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may
may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder. Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body. Why take another pill? Treat your aches and pains with Sunshine Pillows. Microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body heating wraps. Sunshine Pillows and wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it, even while driving. Sunshine Pillows are designed with your comfort in mind, will not burn you, and will stay balanced on your body to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunshine Pillows start at just $20. Join hundreds of our happy customers and see why Sunshine Pillows has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Click sunshine-pillows.com and take the Sunshine Pillow Challenge. That's sunshine-pillows.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Listening to Bill Martinez live.
Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez live.
Especially when you know who made the day, right? It gives you cause to rejoice and be glad in it. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, Steve Weisenkopf is with us. We're talking about his brand new book, The Real Story of Catholic History, Answering 20 Centuries of Anti-Catholic Myths. Steve, we kind of touched on this before, but just to start from the beginning of your motivation for the book, why did you write it?
Yeah, well, I noticed in my my teaching and my speaking, throughout the country, different parishes and things, that there's a lot of misunderstanding, myths, and mischaracterizations of the church's history, and not only among non-Catholics, but even frankly among some Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what I wanted to do was try to dispel some of these modern myths and misrepresentations that exist about the faith, these kind of false narratives. And so I sat down and collected a collection of 55 of the most common myths that one might hear among their family members, coworkers, friends, and decided to kind of pull the thread on those and give an understanding as to where the myth maybe comes from, where it originates, how to refute it with authentic history. And then I end each of those chapters in the book with a little segment I call The Real Story, which is just a short little kind of, written soundbite, so to speak, on how to answer that objection or that myth, when you talk to a coworker, a friend, or family member in a quick and concise manner.
Yeah, if you had 40 more myths, we could have done 95 myths and hammered it on a door somewhere in a church. What do you think?
That would have been, we got a lot of press for that, I'm sure,
Yeah, why not? We can bring it back one more time. The common theme associated with all these myths, what did you find?
Yeah, even though many of these myths are just, they have maybe at their center different, points of contention or whatnot, and all the myths from the early church all the way to the modern world. I mean, the central theme really is this desire on the part of those who create the myths to discredit the Catholic Church and to really limit her influence in the world. That's really the central theme in all of these different myths.
And it's interesting with myths that come up like that, and this is why we need apologists and people who are wired to defend the faith, is that, they're not running, scared, from these challenges. This is a way to exercise the faith and to know that you really know.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, it's incumbent upon, every Catholic, I think, to know the history of our faith, just as we're supposed to know our faith and know the scriptures and other things. So should we, too, know our own history? Because, frankly, predominantly in the English-speaking world, at least, for the last 500 years, Catholic history has been presented from a predominantly English Protestant perspective. And so there's been some elements of that that are not, not authentic to the Catholic story. And that story needs to be told and needs to be learned.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that happens, again, because it is dynamic, and it seems like, as the Bible refers to the spirit of the age, different myths will be a little bit more pronounced. And this is why you need to keep the blade sharp and understand what is the prevailing myth that's out there and how do you combat it. And if you're not having a conversation, if you're not studying to show yourself approved, you're going to be knocked over, and even worse yet, God forbid that you would lose your faith altogether because you were challenged for something that, you really have the answers. But if you're not studying to show yourself approved, you're out there with no blade, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And even, and I mentioned this in the book, there was back in the 19th century, Pope Leo XIII, in his letter that opened up the Vatican Library to outside researchers to come in and use the material there, he mentions exactly the point that you make, that, if Catholics don't know their own history, then they're apt to be taught that history by the world. And the world, in many ways, does not have a favorable opinion of the church. And so, especially if you learn that false history at a young age, as you grow older, more often than not, you won't do the research, to undo those myths that you learned in most cases. And so those are really hard to, those myths that people, grab onto when they're in school. It's hard to then eradicate them later on. It's not impossible, obviously, but very, very difficult because you learned it at such an early age.
Yeah, without a doubt. You've got some things to remediate along the way. These 55 myths, why these myths, Steve?
Yeah, well, I wanted to try to take some of the most common myths that people heard, and I broke them down into different time periods. So there's a section in my book on the early church, myths associated with that. A section on the Crusades, Inquisition, modern world, Reformation, Renaissance, Middle Ages, all the kind of major historical time periods. But when I started out to write the book, I had surveyed friends, family, colleagues, asked, what are some kind of common anti-Catholic historical myths that you hear? And I got a whole lot of responses, frankly. And
I bet you did.
I had to pare those down. To a digestible chunk here. And so I did it by time period, and it kind of worked out to about 55, which I thought was a nice number for bit size for the book.
Well, we have a limited amount of time here, so let's go and check each of these eras, and let's take the major myths of the era. You say the early church. What was the big myth that stuck out for you there?
Yeah, well, one of the interesting myths in the early church is this idea, and it's very prevalent, actually, in the modern world, of the fact that Jesus was a myth, like that Jesus himself didn't actually exist. And there are people that postulate this myth, which actually is not a new myth. I mean, it's kind of popular in the modern world, but it was in the early age, in the early church as well, the Roman authors that doubted who Jesus said he was, at least. They didn't doubt the fact that he existed. But so you have people that say, well, there's no extra, non-biblical sources for Jesus, which is not true. There are, and they're obviously ignorant of those. Or they say that you can't trust the New Testament idea or the New Testament story of who Jesus is because that's biased. It's Christian writing. And so many of them will just say, well, there's elements of Jesus' life too, for example, his virgin birth, this or that, that have echoes in Eastern religions or Egyptian mystery cults. So therefore, the Christians obviously just kind of made this figure up. And many pundits today that are really, atheist at heart, or a secular humanist, you use this myth to try to discredit the church. And because if you can try to somewhat, quote, prove that Jesus was just a myth, then obviously everything he's taught and everything the church stands for is up for debate and even just to be cast aside.
You know, let's ignore all the Old Testament prophecy, what God said was going to happen, and all the prophecy that Jesus fulfilled on his coming.
Yeah, exactly. And plus, you know, Roman sources and other non-Christian sources that point to the fact that there was this historical man named Jesus who lived at the time a Christian said that he did and was crucified. There's all verifiable historical fact.
Exactly. Well, that takes care of the initial. Now, let's fast forward. Well, let's go into the next era, because after, you know, after Jesus' death and the early church is, you know, going into its next phase, it's spreading all over the world. It is taken on the Grand Commission. You still have, you know, the political leaders, the church leaders still trying to figure out, OK, how do we, you know, who is this Jesus guy? He said he's God, he's man. And, you know, you had that controversy taking place.
Yeah, that was, you know, the early part of the church's history. You know, the heresies started to erupt, especially, you know, in the 4th century, for example, there was a big controversy called the Arian heresy of whether, you know, Arius was a North African priest who said, is Jesus really God? Is he co-eternal with the Father? Maybe he's just the first, most perfect creature of God. Mm. And that was his way to answer that question of who is Jesus, because at the time, once the faith was legalized under the Emperor Constantine, you had a lot of converts coming into the church who had, you know, were educated, well-educated from a Greco-Roman culture, and they wrestled with this question, well, how can you say that Jesus is God and man? I mean, what does that mean? And so they tried to answer it, and Arius did, in a heretical way, and that caused a serious problem in the church for several centuries, despite the fact that it was his heresy was condemned at the Council of Nicaea.
Well, it's no wonder. Much that Jesus said, though very simple, if you had ears to hear, but at times very challenging, the whole concept of being born again. Nicodemus had a heart. He goes, well, how do I get back into my mother's womb? What are you talking about? You know, but very practical if you understood what he meant by being born again, right?
Yeah, absolutely, right. That whole understanding of you know, baptism, of being washed of original sin and being welcomed back into communion with the Father and with the church through the sacraments of the church. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, Steve, we've got to go to break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. More from Steve Weidenkopf. Stay with us. It's 18 before the top of the hour right now.
Medicare rules are confusing. They should be. There are over 130,000 pages of regulations. There's Part A through D, Medicare Advantage, and Medigap. According to the CMS, there are government programs available that can help you pay for your medical expenses. Choosing the right Medicare plan is a really big deal. The wrong choice can cost you a lot of money, and the right choice can put more money in your pocket. Call one of our licensed representatives today. At 65 Plus Medicare, our free service can show you a plan that will maximize your Medicare benefits, ensure you are taking advantage of all available government assistance programs, and save you money. Plus, call right now and get a free report on how to avoid costly Medicare mistakes. Call now.
855-301-5506. 855-301-5506. 855-301-5506. That's 855-301-5506.
Money, 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 money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 888-794-1645, 888-794-1645. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 888-794-1645, 888-794-1645, 888-794-1645. That's 888-794-1645.
NMLS number 1136. It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, JP Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of blindness in people over 55. But with treatment, it can be slowed down, stopped, and in some cases, reversed. Make sure you see your grandchildren grow. Protect your vision by requesting information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information. Or again, call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
Bill Martinez live.
And I thank you for believing in me and giving me your all, and now I'll never be alone. I thank you, you know I love you.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live.
So much to be thankful for, huh? Welcome back, America. With a thankful heart, we appreciate you joining us 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Conversation with Steve Weidenkopf continues. We're talking about his book, The Real Story of Catholic History, answering 20 centuries of anti-Catholic myths. He chose 55 to enumerate in the book. Steve, before we go further, let's jump to the end. What's your favorite myth?
Yeah, so my favorite myth is actually one I put in the back of the book in the section called A Mixed Bag. Mm-hmm. At first glance, it might not appear to be an anti-Catholic myth, but it's actually rooted in anti-Catholicism, and it's the myth that has wide popular acceptance, really, in the world, frankly. And it's the myth that Marie Antoinette was a selfish, decadent, you know, queen who callously said to her starving subjects, let them eat cake.
Yes.
And it's something that, you know, she never, ever, ever uttered those words, although they're always attributed to her. And the actual, you know, opposite is true. She was a woman who, during that time in the late 18th century France, when France was undergoing a financial and crisis, an economic crisis that led to some suffering and to starvation, she actually set up, you know, soup kitchens and helped feed the people of Paris during that time. So, but that myth was later, and that phrase was later attributed to her by anti-Catholic and anti-monarchy elements of the French Revolution that wanted to, you know, remake French society into this great secular utopia.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I remember reading, you know, the conflict there and the tension that was going on in terms of the perception. But, you know, such is the case that people find themselves who do follow God, is there is a misunderstanding. And you always have that, you know, you can say the devil or evil that would want to counterbalance the narrative and have people think otherwise and just the opposite. It wasn't that she said, let them eat cake, you know, I'll bake them a cake, you know, and a little bit different in that regard. So that is the case. So don't be surprised. They misunderstood Jesus. He said, follow my example. We'll be misunderstood. And sometimes that's a problem, because, you know, we can look back at the myths in the Catholic Church And we could probably enumerate myths about our own lives that people have about us. And maybe that's a good thing, because if there's some myth, it's probably because, you know, the devil wants it to be so, because you're doing some damage there to his kingdom.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, you know, if you're not getting criticized, right, that old phrase is, I guess you're not doing something, you're not doing your job. I mean, that's very true about our faith, right? If we're lukewarm in our faith, then, you know, the devil is probably want to just pass over us. But if we're active in our faith and trying to live the way that Christ calls us to, then, yeah, we're going to be attacked, and people are going to issue calumny and you know, things against us that are not true. And, you know, we have to defend ourselves at times. Other times we might just have to remain silent and suffer as Jesus did. So,
exactly.
You know, but we need to rely on his grace to do it. So.
Well, the culture is demanding confrontation in a way, Steve, the way I look at it. And what a great way to confront the culture, and that's with goodness and righteous and noble things, the things that Jesus talked about, that the Bible teaches us, the things that we know inherently when we are in rhythm with those righteous things, it goes well for us, even when it doesn't seem to be going well.
Yeah, very true. I mean, that's part of the Christian life, right? That there are times when you want to react in anger, you want to reach out and, you know, strangle the guy or whatever that's saying bad things about you or right. attacking you or your family member, or even the church. But we have to always keep in mind the example of our Lord, right? And mm-hmm. and know that at certain times with certain groups of people, right, the Lord was very direct, overturning the money tables and the money changers' tables, for example, in the temple. You know, but at other times, he obviously showed great restraint, great mercy, great respect for others, and great charity. And so we have to emulate that as well. We have to discern the times and discern the situation, discern who we're talking to, and then react appropriately, as the Lord would.
Exactly. Well, Steve, one of the challenges, admittedly, for me the last few weeks has been as a result of studying King David when he was being harassed. You might remember the crazy guy yelling from the hill, you know, and as he was leaving Jerusalem, and he was just mocking David. And of course, one of David's soldiers says, "Well, let me take this guy out." And David goes, "No. God has brought him there. God has him there for a purpose." And it was a humbling purpose for King David, especially at a time when he was really down and out. His son is taking over his kingdom. He's kicked out of his own home, his own land. His leadership is brought into question. And here you have this guy mocking him, but he stops and says, "No, I'm gonna let God handle this." And that's tough, and it really caused me to pause in the last couple of weeks, and it's been cycling, in different issues of my own life, and I'm grateful for that story to realize that things are only happening to us or to me at that particular time because that's part of God's will, and sometimes we don't look at it that way.
Yeah, no, we don't. And that's one of the hardest probably aspects of Christian life, right, for many of mm-hmm. us is to recognize that God is in control, right, mm-hmm. and that we're not. And that there are times when we have to remind ourselves, obviously, of that and to recognize that he has a purpose for all things that happen to us, good and bad. And we need to, to accept it. And, again, with the grace from him through the sacraments of the church, we can persevere and follow the path that he wants us to be so that we can be purified at least partially here on earth so that we can be with him forever in heaven, you know, when we die.
Yeah, without a doubt. Steve, what about the crusade, the myths of the crusade? What was the greatest myth there?
Yeah, there's many myths about the crusades, frankly, and I wrote a book a couple of years ago kind of combating all of the myths of the crusades called The Glory of the Crusades. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one of the ones that's very prevalent today is the fact that these were so-called unprovoked wars of aggression by Christian knights against peaceful Islam. That's really the central myth that people believe about the Crusades today. And it's just not true. You look at the historical record at the time, late 11th century, you had a group of people called the Seljuk Turks who came down from the Asian steppe, invaded into the Holy Land, and they made life miserable for the indigenous Christians and Jews in the Holy Land at the time. And then they also harassed and killed Christian pilgrims from the West who were coming to visit the holy sites. And they were attacking the Byzantine Empire, and it was a full-on assault, really, of Christians and Jews in the region. And so the Crusades were launched in order mm-hmm. to help the Byzantines defend their territory and to protect those Christians traveling to and living in the Holy Land.
Exactly. World War II, Miss. Let's combine World War I, World War II, and because we only have about 3 minutes left here, and address some of the myths that came out of World War I and II.
Yeah, you know, the biggest one, at least for World War II, is just that the Pius XII, right? That's mm-hmm. the kind of the biggest myth about the church didn't do anything to help the Nazi, or to help the Jews rather, against the Nazis in the Second World War, and so. That's been a common refrain over the last 30 years or so, 20, 30 years, but it's been thoroughly debunked. Pius did as much as he possibly could to help the Jews in a way that was still respectful of the Vatican's neutrality. The Vatican officially didn't take sides either way in the war, either in World War One or World War Two, and, you know, established many different things behind the scenes in order to save the Jews. And one Jewish historian himself estimated that as a result of Pius's actions and the actions of those members of the church who were engaged in saving Jews, that they ultimately helped 860,000 Jews escape the final solution, which was about 30% of all those Jews who lived through that time period. So, and not an inconsequential effort on the part of the church as well.
Exactly.
In that area.
Well, Steve, when evil was so pronounced, and today we talk about it, as if we're so aware of what Hitler was doing, and certainly, a lot of people chose to ignore it. People would wonder why, you know, the Vatican would not have taken a more aggressive stand against evil. After all, you know, you look at the Vatican, and you would hope that they would represent, the good side.
Right, exactly, and you know, that's both in World War One and World War Two. You know, what people kind of forget is that the Pope is responsible for souls on you know, either side or both sides, so to speak. I mean, he's concerned about, you know, everyone in terms of, you know, their eternal souls and their, their actions on in the world. And he wants to make sure that charity abounds everywhere. So, you know, that neither Benedict XV in the First World War nor Pius XII in the Second World War specifically and officially chose sides. But people today want, you know, well, he should have chosen a side. He should have been on the Allied side or this or that. But, you know, that kind of shows a lack of appreciation, understanding of the geopolitical world at the time, frankly, but also just the whole role of the Pope. The Pope is supposed to be that figure that unites the church, obviously, but unites even the members of the human race. In a way that's not confrontational, in a way that doesn't choose sides in the course of a conflict, but always calling both sides to reconcile and to peace, calling out those things that are wrong, obviously, but then also, if necessary, as Pius did in the Second World War, for example, working behind the scenes as much as possible to combat evil wherever it raises its ugly head.
And appreciating the higher call of his duty as the pontiff. Steve, that's a whole new book in and of itself. I'm telling you, we could spend hours, you and I, just talking about that concept, about in the midst of evil, and it's kind of like what we talked about with King David. You know, it's like, okay, well, God has me here at this point in time, and the challenge I have is to get in sync with God's purpose and let his will be done, and let me be an agent of his will, not to be, an antagonist, certainly, of his will. Steve Weidenkopf, Steve, again, thank you so much. Congratulations on the book. I say thank you for your commitment to pursue the truth and to support the faith with the real story of Catholic history, answering 20 centuries of anti-Catholic myths. The book available at all the usual places, and it will be linked on our website as well at BillMartinezLive.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.